Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
The Pentagon is debuting a whole new technology, lasers. We've been conducting live fire tests aboard the USS Bush. They've been knocking down anything that flies. And the Bush will be in theater at any moment. By Wednesday night, we could see the return of major combat operations. The president says an extension of the ceasefire is very unlikely. The major sticking point is nukes.
970 pounds of 60% highly enriched uranium. What can you do with that?
So that is enough material for, if you enrich it just a little bit more, for 10 to 11 nuclear bombs.
Yeah, that was Harvard professor breaking the news to 60 Minutes, Lee.
So they finally caught on.
Yeah. To me, the turning point in this war, I didn't need to know this because I've been covering it for a year on the show and on Battleground America, was catching that ship yesterday, Iranian flag coming from China with the materials on it to reconstitute the next set of ballistic missiles. We're done here. And we're at war with China. I still, for the life of me, do not know why the biggest story this week is not that we caught China, this broke last week, using its satellites for the missile targeting of our bases, killing 7 of our troops. It didn't start with Iran, by the way, for all you panickins. Oh, China wouldn't do it as, yes, they would. China wouldn't do this if Trump didn't win it and he didn't hit Iran. Yes, they would. They started doing it in April of 2025. Go look it up. I was obsessed with it at the time. Using their satellites, this time it was Iran's proxy army in the Red Sea called the Houthis, to do the strikes on what? Our naval vessels. I guarantee if you go back to 23, when they first killed 3 of our troops in Jordan, I guarantee that was Chinese targeting too. They are killing us. Why? Why do they want an armed Iran? Let's look at a big picture here. Why do they want an armed Iran, Lee? Iran is like a gun. It's just the weapon China's using, much as it uses North Korea. Why? They intend to enforce their economic plan violently, navally. That's why they've been building up their navy in key trade choke points. They already control the Red Sea. Lee, we couldn't even put... You just heard that segment there, right? We've got the laser technology. Technology on what? USS George W. Bush. Why did it take a while for them to get there? Because we couldn't run it through the Red Sea. We had to take the long route. Why? Because China and the Houthis would fire on us using what? Those satellites. This is good news, though. Why? Democrats aren't in power, Lee. They may still control the Red Sea, and we're going to go kick their ass. We will when we're done with Iran. Mm-hmm. That needs to come next. But the reason it's good is this. Roger Kimball, always nailing it at American Greatness, and he writes this. It's important to place this conflict in a broader strategic context. On Saturday, the U.S. signed a defense agreement with Morocco concerning the Strait of Gibraltar, the choke point between the Atlantic Ocean and the Mediterranean Sea. What is it? It's we are going to basically patrol it. We're going to own it. We're going to control it. China's not. Just a few days ago, the U.S. inked an agreement with Indonesia, granted expanded operational access of the Strait of Malacca, through which 80% of China's oil imports flow.
I'm glad you found that, because I've been sitting on that for a week now.
Oh, it's huge.
Yes. And people do not realize the importance of that. We have flyover permission from Indonesia now, so we can operate our aircraft out of that area. That means that we can put reconnaissance and surveillance mm-hmm. aircraft there. And as you just said, that is the trade route that 80% of China's trade goes through that's not coming toward the U.S., not coming toward the North and South America. That is huge.
Trump negotiated the neutrality of the Panama Canal because, remember, they were getting ready to charge our ships, but not others going. And Biden was fine with it. He was cool.
Which we built the darn thing.
I know.
And gave it away. Thanks, Jimmy Carter.
So Trump's Panama Canal deal sidelining the Chinese companies that had quietly stepped in to manage access to the canal. Gibraltar, Malacca, Hormuz, Panama. We got to take one more Red Sea, but we don't want a two-front war right now with China. And folks, this once again, the most important story last week, China kills seven of our troops. What part of this is never going to end till we fight back do you panickins not understand? And Lee, you got my back here. Have I not been obsessed with all of this for like 2 years? This is not new. Trump
obsession
didn't start
is putting
this.
It mildly, Tara. I'm just kidding.
I know, but I was talking about this when nobody was.
Right, I know. Yeah. People don't like to talk strategic things, unfortunately, and they should.
Trump thinks in strategy like this, though. And again, here's Jesse Waters breaking this midway through his show last night. I about fell off my chair.
The USS Bronze blew a hole in her engine room, stopped her cold. Marines choppered in, rappelled onto the deck, and took her over. The president says we have full custody and are seeing what's on board. It's an Iranian cargo ship called the Tuska, almost 1,000 feet long and weighs as much as an aircraft carrier. And it's been under U.S. and European sanctions. It was up to no good. The Tuska was traveling from China. The Washington Post says it was loaded with dual-use chemicals used to manufacture ballistic missiles. Beijing just got caught doing us dirty. And Trump will make them pay.
So, in the hours before we hit Isfahan, remember last year when we were blowing up the nuclear facilities, what do we see? Thousands of Chinese scientists employees fleeing the building. Mm-hmm. They're building the nukes. They're arming them with ballistic missiles. They're doing the targeting because the IRGC is too stupid to do it themselves. They can't even operate their own satellites, much less launch them. So China does it for them. China kills our troops with those satellites. It's just the Iranian hand mashing the missile. What happens when Iran is nuclear armed? They control that strait and they dictate their economic policy through violence. Or we win. And we'll find out which way we're going to go tomorrow. This great line, Roger Kimball wrote it. I love it. I wish I could take credit for it, but I didn't. He writes about all those choke points we just took. In just over a year, President Trump has opened the world's major choke points under the aegis of American oversight in case of war. For example, a China attack on Taiwan. The U.S. can embargo a significant portion of the world's energy mix. At the moment, both Russia and Chinese strategists must be revising their expansionist policies in light of these developments. You bet they are. And it was an act of desperation to try to run those missile chemicals through our blockade.
I think that the chances of a Taiwan invasion by China right now are starting to diminish.
Yes.
Because China is strategically buying up and has stored petroleum reserves. But that would only do them for a few weeks. And if there was an ongoing war, we would be able to stop them from getting anything into the country. And their economy would collapse in days after they run out of their petroleum reserves.
This is such a long-term strategy by Trump. He didn't just haul off and go 25th Amendment crazy.
Right.
When you look at what was the first thing he did, even before the Panama Canal in his first term, the reason China wants Taiwan is because all those microchips are there, along with our best-in-the-world technology they manufacture for us, which is just next-level dumb. That's why they want it. In those factories, at our insistence, are kill switches, where if China invades, they are to destroy the entire factory. That is what they're supposed to do. We hope they'll do it. And Trump said, you know what? We can't do this. China can get us over a barrel. What did he do? He made the number one Taiwanese manufacturer move their plant to Arizona.
Yep. Where they're building things now.
Move their scientists to Arizona and what? Train their American replacements. And it's opened. He got it done in the first term. That had to be done firstly before he could do any of this. This is a strategy that stretches back to the first term. What did he do? What did you see him do? We don't like Tim Cook, but he cut the big deal. The minerals for that factory. We're going to mine them out of Minnesota, no matter what those crazy Democrats do. That was the Boundary Waters deal that just took place. This is all a war. It is technological. It is scientific. China is fighting it, and they're already killing us. So you libertarian panicans think you can just sit back and your little world will be the same and this is an optional war? I want to welcome you to 2026. 1996 is over. It was nice. We don't live in that world anymore. In this one, not making a choice is to choose. It is to choose violence by China to dictate its policy, as it is doing now in the Red Sea. This is not theoretical. And our troops get killed in our bases all over the place. And you know what happens? You saw this with Diego Garcia. What do? We're going to end up pulling out of Europe. We're going to end up pulling out of everywhere because they're going to hit us. Or we would have. But Democrats lost and Trump is in charge. I'll tell you what's coming next.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Even liberal professor Dr. Matthew Bunn of Harvard admits it on 60 Minutes.
UN inspectors believe Iran has close to 1,000 pounds of uranium enriched to 60%, nearly ready to be used in a nuclear weapon.
970 pounds of 60% highly enriched uranium. What can you do with that?
So that is enough material for, if you enrich it just a little bit more, for 10 to 11 nuclear bombs. Iran has been lying about its nuclear weapons effort for over 20 years now. They have always claimed our program was 100% peaceful. We were never pursuing nuclear weapons. That's a lie. And then once the international inspectors got in and started finding some things out, the Iranians kept lying to them.
But even Biden, senior advisor Amos Hochstein, admits this is an actual problem Trump's fixing. He didn't just go insane.
In July 2024, Secretary Blinken claimed Iran was 1 or 2 weeks away from having enough fissile material breakout capacity to eventually make a weapon if Iran had decided to do so. There were indirect negotiations that the Biden administration did, but it went nowhere. So when President Trump argues that he did when no other president would, is it just simply that the bill was coming due and it fell on his watch?
I do think there's a certain element to that. And that's why I was supportive of President Trump joining in June to take the strikes that we had thought internally in the Biden.
There's actually a trend online. Oh, Iran doesn't really have nukes. Folks, people who don't get news kill me. They bragged about them in the opening negotiations with the Trump team.
In that first meeting, both the Iranian negotiators said to us directly, with, you know, no shame, that they controlled 460 kilograms of 60%, and they're aware that that could make 11 nuclear bombs, and that was the beginning of their negotiating stance. They were proud of it. They were proud that they had evaded all sorts of oversight protocols to get to a place where they could deliver 11 nuclear bombs.
I can't believe I even have to do this. But I know what you're thinking. Oh, come on. They've been saying that they're months away, weeks away from a bomb for a long time. We have, our leaders have, Bibi Netanyahu has, going all the way back to 1992. I mean, come on. First question, do you think Trump and Israel would take this kind of risk and use this kind of capital just because it's fun to hit Iran with bombs? Okay, but it's true also that 1992, 2002, 2009, 2012, Bibi Netanyahu has said, we are just months away from Iran having a bomb. Our leaders have said the same thing. We've been lied to a lot by our leaders. We have, especially George W. Bush and the team around him, that deep state team, lied to get us into two wars. So what's the truth? Well, a useful idiot would say, see, everybody's been lying for 40 years. Iran's fine. They're totally not going to launch a long-range missile at our, like, you know, one of our bases. Oh, yeah. Well, okay, they did that. But they're totally not going to have a long range missile because they say they don't. Okay, they do. Okay, so they're totally not going to have nukes in a few months because we've been through this. And they never have nukes. Why? Why don't they have nukes? I retweeted this. It's so powerful. Because every time Iran got close, Israel stopped them. Thank God. 2010, Israel and the U.S. unleashed Stuxnet, the first cyber weapon in history. It destroyed over 1,000 centrifuges at Natanz and set Iran's program back years. 2010 through 2020, as Barack Obama and Joe Biden frantically pumped billions of dollars into the Iranian program. And folks, that's why we are where we are today. The Mossad systematically assassinated Iran's top nuclear scientists one after another in the heart of Tehran, stopping the program cold. It was only a temporary solution, though. In 2018, Netanyahu revealed the secret nuclear archive the Mossad stole straight out of the Tehran warehouse, proving Iran lied, never stopped its weapons program. 2020 to 2021, as Joe Biden unfroze billions of dollars to put the program on steroids and achieve the nuclear Iran Democrats dream of. Again, this is why we have this problem. What happened 2020 to 2021? Israel strikes again. Multiple sabotage operations, blew up Natanz, explosions, blackouts, entire centrifuge halls wiped out. That's why Iran needed such a big infusion of unfrozen cash from Joe Biden. Fast forward to 2021, Israeli drones hit the Kharj centrifuge manufacturing facility, again setting back Iran. 2024 through 2025. Now we have tens of billions pumped into the program by Joe Biden in the frantic dash to get Iran nuclear armed. What stopped it? Direct Israeli strikes, hammering Iran's nuclear and military sites, assassinating key commanders and scientists. They have killed wave after wave after wave after wave of scientists to keep them from taking that enriched uranium from 60 to 90 and then taking it and putting it in a nuke. Folks, if it wasn't for Bibi Netanyahu's intelligence and Israel's willingness to act when the world refused, Iran would have had the bomb a decade ago with Democrat funding, Democrat blessing, and Democrat celebration. That is why. But unfortunately, as the Saudi prince pointed out, when the Democrats pump $150 billion just under Biden, my figure here is 100. I don't know where they get the extra 50, but it's probably their intelligence services. And they build them to this point. Trump made the decision. We have to take them out once and for all to slow the Democrats in Iran down for the next 10 to 20 years. But what will that involve? Democrats are already warning Trump not to do it.
We're not really sure where these canisters are of this 1,000 pounds of 60% enriched uranium, which rightly was noted is one turn of the enrichment process below that of weapons grade. But they're going to have to excavate very, very substantially. And by the way, that's what makes the idea of a forced ground operation very, very challenging. This would be a very, very tall order. It would be exceedingly risky, and the casualties could potentially be quite substantial.
So that's former CIA director and deep state weenie David Petraeus, who's also a general, speaking to the left-wing media, and they're already building the narrative, hey, there's going to be a lot of casualties, so Trump shouldn't do it, so that when he does it, they can say, see, he knew there'd be a lot of casualties. He doesn't care. Let's give up and let Iran have the nuclear material. Okay, this is Mike Sorrell, retired Navy SEAL on Fox News on Petraeus.
I think it may be one of the only options. Can we trust Iran to turn over the uranium? No. Can we take them at their word that they'll dispose of it? No. So, you know, are combat operations risky? Yes. They're inherently risky. However, with our military force and our capability, they are possible. What makes this complicated is it becomes a combat operation while doing excavation or construction in a sense. And that requires a defensive perimeter. I'm never fearful or overly fearful of our troops going in. It's always when you take a defensive posture, and any military professional will tell you that you expose your people to risk. It's hard to hold static ground. But it is possible and most likely the only viable way to ensure that we get our hands on the uranium. We account for it, and then we ultimately dispose of it or take custody of it.
Yeah, and taking...
And folks, incredibly, who are the Democrats openly rooting for? Here's Senator Chris Van Hollen on Twitter today. Somebody tweeted 26 ships have gotten past the Iranian blockade since it started. The actual number is 10 since it legitimately started, officially started on the 16th, but okay, whatever. And you know what Senator Murphy tweets? Awesome. His tweet comes after we learn that one of those ships flagged to Iran was coming from China with the dual-use chemicals needed for the next round of ballistic missiles. Folks, they were going to use those as they've used the last ones to kill our troops. And his commentary is awesome. Folks, there was a time, many years, in fact, when Joe Biden was president, when I said over and over, please talk your children out of joining the military. Do not let your kids serve under Democrats. This is why. Let me remind you, it was Joe Biden who rewarded Iran and its proxies with billions of dollars after they killed three of our troops at that outpost in Jordan. He unleashed even more money to them. It was the second time, by the way, because Iran, who armed, trained, and coordinated October 7th, killed 46 Americans on October 7th. And remember, Joe Biden was supposed to release billions to him that month. It got a little hot, so he had to wait till the next month. But, I mean, Iran knows you kill Americans, you're going to get rewarded with billions of dollars the next month. So disabusing them of this notion is going to take a lot of effort on Trump's part. They just don't believe that the great Satan is finally going to punish them for all the mass murder. They're going to have to be taught the hard way. Folks, I started this podcast with a best of clip from the show today on the use of lasers and how the USS George W. Bush is headed to theater. Let's hope and pray that they can do things with these lasers we've never seen before to protect our troops when they go in to get that nuclear fissile material. We've got to get it. Because, folks, I won't mislead you. I've been telling you the whole point of these fake negotiations was to give both sides the time to rearm. And again, that we're seeing a massive new buildup starting around April 13th in the Middle East, both Air Force and troops in preparation. I think they're going to do it all at once. I think they're going to take Karg Island. I think they're going to take the Channel Islands and maybe even do the nuclear material and really lock that place down. But folks, Trump acknowledged today that the Chinese, who he plans insanely, by the way, to visit, that's a practical suicide to go to China and visit Xi. I would never do it. But he says he's going to. Trump acknowledging on CNBC this morning, hey, China did send the stuff to kill our troops and Iran is rearming. He put it a little more gently than I'd like, but here's what he said.
You know, they're trying to move the missiles because we've obliterated most of their missiles, and they're trying to move their missiles around, even during the ceasefire, which I think was a good thing because we're totally loaded up. We have so much ammo. We have so much of everything that we've, like, a much, much more powerful than it was 4 or 5 weeks ago. So we've used this to restock, and they probably have done a little bit of restocking. We caught a ship yesterday that had some things on it, which wasn't very nice, a gift from China, perhaps. I don't know. But I was a little surprised, but because I have a very good relationship, and I thought I had an understanding with President Xi, but that's all right. That's the way war goes, right?
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.